In the fall of second grade, I proudly submitted a carefully crafted biography of my mom. It was composed on classic dotted line paper. Any of you remember classic dotted line paper in grade school? This was a special writing project to be displayed in our hallway for parent-teacher night, right outside our room. So I waxed eloquent, reporting with the utmost 7-year-old precision, and I quote, "My mother does not work. She is a housewife." Yeah, I know. Now I know. But little did I know back then how clueless my statement was, or how ridiculously male chauvinistic. My poor mom stood there in the hallway on parent-teacher night, and she had to have felt like it was hopeless. All that time and her amazing nurture and energetic hard work, she had to have thought to herself, what a waste. I must have seemed hopeless. Motherhood reveals ever-deepening layers of hopelessness. After all, mom's work is never done, right? School projects, taxing kids, financial pressure, it all builds up and pushes down on a mother's soul. Mom is expected to be the chief operating officer of the family corporation. And so along with endless tasks, moms are deeply concerned about their kids' feelings and also each unique developmental stage. God wired moms with emotional and developmental radar. In great contrast to us dads. I mean, most guys are only slightly aware that there might be some small humans under 4 feet tall living in the house. Moms, on the other hand, totally into it. Mix in all of a mom's concern over her kids' choices, friends, and future plans. Any cocktail of these ingredients yields high anxiety for moms. A mom's work can feel hopeless. Add the reality there are societal, ideological attacks on womanhood. Yes, attacks that impact moms and all women big time. Assumptions, some well-grounded, but many ungrounded, abound. And so what is a mom to do? What is a mom to do? Where can moms find fresh hope in the midst of all that they juggle at work? We dare not miss how God's big blessing, his own image, and his call to royal work, meaningful leadership, was part of our Creator's original plan for both men and women. Back at creation, Genesis 1, 27 and 28, we see such a royal call. We see such a destiny for humanity. We see such an incredible calling, such affirmation in the image of God. This creation scene, it says, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Such blessings for family. Do you catch it? The blessings, the language of blessing here in the image of God. It's a blessing for flourishing. It's a blessing for good influence. But this did not end back there at creation. This was not a one and done statement from the Creator, and it didn't end back there at creation as a one-time thing. It's actually echoed all across God's story. One of those places it's echoed, hundreds, potentially thousands of years later, is in Psalm 115, verses 14 through 16. The psalmist says, "May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind." Note that. Note that the earth, the world in which we live, this domain, this realm, well, he's given it to us as humans for royal work, for flourishing, for solid leadership, for go after it kind of living out of his creative image in us. So hardworking moms, there's hope. Even in those times when you don't feel like there's hope, even when all seems hopeless, there's hope because of the blessing of God, because of the call of God, because of his incredible, incredible blessing. There's hope. In the new covenant, Jesus himself consistently affirms the important role of women, whether as mothers and or fulfilling other VIP roles. Don't forget, it's women who first proclaimed his resurrection. Have you ever caught that in the gospel stories? The guys were still hiding. Across early church history, women and moms are highlighted as special people of influence, renown, and co-laborers in God's mission field. So when we look at the stories in the book of Acts, when we look at that early account of God's work there in the expansion of the gospel, we see women as incredible influencers in God's worldwide new creation work. And still, across the centuries, confusion over gender roles rages. Our own current day, societal thinking, and even people in certain tribes of Christianity downplay moms, downplay women as vital influencers, and it's challenging to find hope. Too many days, it's way too discouraging. Several hope-filled insights emerge from a couple of women, undeniably two of the greatest moms in all of history. Consider two of the best moms ever. First, in Luke's gospel record, when Mary encountered the angel, a scene that we often only look at during Advent, at Christmas time. When Mary encountered the angel, she said yes to God's plans, even though they were immensely challenging. Luke 1, verse 38. The angel has appeared to Mary, and it says, Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord. May it be unto me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. It's not every day a young woman is told she will become pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Think on it. What an astounding message, but she says yes. She was to become mom to the Son of God. Whoa! What a surprise. What a stunning shock. I mean, some of you were just surprised when you found out you were expecting a normal kiddo, let alone Son of God. Wow. And she said, yes, I am your servant. May it be. A full yes to God is the essence of deep trust, genuine dependence, and the very core of faith for all of us. And so the challenge today for all of us is, will we say yes? Will moms say yes, but all of us, really, will we step boldly into what God wants? Will you say yes? Will you listen and be receptive, so receptive to God's word, his instructions? Will you process life's difficult assignments? And there are many of them, hard tests, and there are many of them. And even those rascally scenarios. And we know all about those right now, don't we? Will you process them through God's truth, his power, and his presence? See, the promise of his presence makes all the difference. The promise that he is with you and he is for you. The promise that he is with you and that he is for you. It was his promise to Mary. I'm with you. It makes all the difference. Mary's relative Elizabeth was also amazingly with child at that time. And Elizabeth echoed God's blessing. God's blessing. Here's more of this creation-like language. Luke 1, starting in verse 42. Note it. Elizabeth spoke out with a loud voice, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb." But why is this granted to me? She's just struck with it. She's just in awe. She's in amazement. She's overwhelmed with wonder and fresh gratitude. She says, "Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed is she who believed." There it is, that essence of faith, that she believed and said yes. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a completion to those things which were told her by the Lord." In other words, God made the promise, God will deliver on the promise. God made the promise, God will deliver on the promise. Hardworking moms, there's hope. Hardworking moms, there's hope. Years ago, there was another mom. Mom named Susanna. She had a gaggle of 10 kids with her husband, Sam. Anybody in the crowd today have 10? Any of you have days you feel like you have 10? Yeah. She had 10, for real, with her husband, Sam. Sadly, their house caught fire and almost burned to the ground. Not once, but twice. I think I'd move, wouldn't you? They stayed. Her husband was devoted both to God and to Susanna. However, Sam also had a very judgmental side. He was one of those kind of guys, and he often expressed strong critique toward her and the children. He was also precarious with money, which made life extremely difficult for their whole family. Susanna constantly sought to cultivate Jesus' values and heart in all daily actions with her children. She was one of those whole life people who said Jesus ought to be present in everything we do and say. But one of their girls, Hetty was her name, very bright but equally strong-willed young woman, kicked up her heels. She plunged into a brief fling with a young lawyer in their community, and she got pregnant outside marriage. And this caused great disgrace to the very proper and religious family. Dad, Sam, disowned Hetty. But Susanna persevered. With motherly love, Christ-like love for her daughter Hetty. Now, this is actually a very old account, very old account. So you might benefit by hearing one of Susanna's prayers. And as you see it and hear it, note how each phrase reveals just how integrated whole life she was about her daily work and how much she desired to incorporate Jesus' heart into her own heart as well as her children's lives. Note Susanna's prayer. "Help me, Lord, to remember that religion is not to be confined to the church or closet, meaning private space at home, nor exercised only in prayer and meditation, but that everywhere I am in thy presence. So may my every word and action have a moral content." May all the happenings of my life prove useful and beneficial to me. May all things instruct me and afford me an opportunity of exercising some virtue and daily learning and growing toward thy likeness. Amen. What a prayer. What a prayer. Susanna's son, Jack, became one of the foremost leaders, thinkers, and provocative communicators of his era. John, as he was largely known outside the family, left a massive footprint on the culture of his day, and Susanna's son, Charles, is responsible for crafting amazing songs, many of which are still sung in churches today, yes, even in our church. The family name, yes, is Wesley. Wesley. Their profound legacy in Christian thought and practice resulted from Susanna's passionate aim to form Christ's heart in all of her children. Hardworking moms, there's hope. Even in the face of obstacles, there's hope, great hope. Both Mary and Susanna's examples point out this vital truth. A mom's best hope is found in connecting her own heart and her kids' hearts with Christ's heart. A mom's best hope is found in connecting her own heart and her kids' hearts with Christ's heart. Now, what's required in order to connect like that? To connect hearts. And all of us, not just moms. These three essentials are true for all of us. Here's the first one. Be encouraged. Be encouraged, moms. Receive it today. Now, some of you, I know, I get it. Some of you are skeptical. You've already been like, yeah, right, this morning. Because somebody's tried, you know, like encouraging you and saying, you're the best mom ever and stuff like that. And some of you like rolled your eyes inside. You might have smiled and said thank you, but inside you're like, yeah, right. You don't say that any other day. Be encouraged. Just receive it. Go with it, okay? Go with it. Soak it up. And sons, daughters, and dads, be more deliberate encouragers. Be more deliberate encouragers. Intentionally affirm moms, not just today. One day a man came home from work to find total mayhem in his house. His three little kids were outside, still in their PJs, playing in the mud. Empty food boxes and Pop-Tart wrappers were strewn around the front yard. The door of his wife's car was wide open, as was the front door to the house. Stepping inside, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp was knocked over. The throw rug was wadded against the one wall. In the front room, the TV was blaring a cartoon channel. The family room was strewn with toys, various shoes, and items of clothing. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink, dog food was spilled on the floor, a broken glass lay under the kitchen table, and a small pile of sand was spread by the back door. He quickly headed up the stairs, stepping over toys and piles of laundry, looking for his wife. He was worried she might be ill or something serious has happened to her, and he found her there, curled up in bed, still in her pajamas, reading a novel. She looked up at him, smiled, and asked how his day went. He looked at her in bewilderment and asked, "Fine, but what happened here today?" She again smiled and answered, "You know, every day when you come home from work and ask me, what in the world did I do today?" "Yes," was his incredulous reply. She answered, "Well, today I didn't do it." Watch this. Take a look. So be encouraged and become even more intentional in your encouragement toward moms. Second essential, be open to God's stunning surprises, even amidst both joyous and hard times. Mary had to be, Susanna had to be open to God's stunning surprises amidst both joyous and hard times, whether you're a mom or not. How open are you? How open are you to God's daily working? Besides Mary, there's another very influential woman involved in young Jesus' story. In Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 36, when Mary and Joseph bring him to be dedicated at the temple, we read, "There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to Mary and Joseph and Jesus at that very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." Verse 39 says, "When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew, became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him." Here's a third essential. Third essential, be determined and tenacious in your unique role in the story. Be determined and tenacious in your unique role in the story. Mary needed to be tenacious. Susanna needed to be tenacious. Elizabeth and Anna, they were tenacious women. All of us, God has a unique role for you to play in his grand story. Don't miss it. For all of us, we have and continue to journey through tough times, surprising times, shocking times in the story. I mean, who among us would have ever thought that we would walk through and have to work through all that we have in previous months and across this past year? Don't give up now. Be tenacious, be resilient. Realize God has a unique role for you to play in his story. That same call from back at creation for you to lead well and know his blessing, to live within his presence, to live in light of his promises. Oh, let your heart say yes. Determine you will be tenacious and resilient. Don't give up. Be determined, tenacious, resilient in your unique role. And there was a fantastic outcome for Mary's work. Fantastic outcome. Even after somewhat comically, a couple years later, comically losing Jesus in Jerusalem for 3 days. Several years pass and he's 12 years old. I can't help but wonder, how do you lose the Son of God? Talk about a parenting oops. They found him. In Luke 2, 51 and 52, incredible synthesis of holistic development. Look what it says. "Then Jesus returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother, Mary, stored up all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people." When's the last time you thought about it, that Jesus actually grew up and developed and matured? And he had great, great mom, great dad, great group of people all around him. It's a fantastic outcome. Jesus grew in wisdom, in physical height, yes, and in favor with God and other humans. Speaking of development and growth, next week we start a brand new series called Diamonds Out of Difficulties. We warmly invite you back, either right here in person or back online. We warmly invite you to join in. We're going to be talking about how we can grow, how we can develop, even in the face of difficulties, even in the face of heartaches and suffering and disabilities, those places that seem dark and dismal, God uses those to craft diamonds. I invite you back next week. When moms access Jesus' heart, and choose to say yes, then kids grow stronger. When we cheer them on, when we lift them up daily with encouragement, we foster their hope. Kids experience whole person development as a result. Notice it, mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. Don't miss it, moms. Your kids can grow up to make significant impact, to touch lives and become big workers in God's kingdom business. It's a big story. Big story he's writing. You might say, "Ah, John, my kid will never be a Wesley boy. And he certainly won't be Jesus." Okay, all right, fair. But you can. You can raise kids who grow up to work hard, help build the future, fight disease, solve hunger crises, create noble culture, plant churches, and in a myriad of other ways, share Christ with a world in desperate need of Jesus' grace. And you can play your role in God's story. You can play your role well right now. And make that kind of investment in your children and your children's children and their children. Moms, we thank you. We thank you, whether you realize it or not, your work is full of hope. When all feels hopeless, hear it again one more time this morning, the abundant blessing of God. Abundant blessing. Psalm 115, verses 14 through 16. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. Hardworking moms, there's hope. There's hope. Let's stand together. We're going to pray, and the team's going to come to lead us in a segment of worship as we wrap up today. Jesus, thank you so much for your amazing example. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the incredible hope that you supply for all of us, moms, dads, grandmoms and granddads, kids, and everybody in between. We all have those moments when we feel lost on the pages of the story. Please fill our hearts this morning with fresh hope and fresh resilience, and fresh faithfulness to play our role well in your story, Lord. I pray that you will fill moms' hearts today with fresh encouragement. For all of us, may we grow in wisdom. May we grow up in your favor and your blessing. Help us be courageous, knowing you are with us and you are for us. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. Amen.